Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. First, Moms on the Move, Letitia Stock coming across country back to Colorado. Second, Lori Vallow back in Idaho. Third, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And finally, where has Scott been all week? Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. If you have not already subscribed, we would ask you to please do so. If you want to receive notifications of when we go live or put out new material, hit that little bell. And as always, leave us a comment on what we discuss here today. First on the docket, Moms on the Move, Letitia Stock. Yes, the stepmother of Gannon Stock, the young man who disappeared in El Paso County, basically Colorado Springs, Colorado, back in January. No idea where he is, but Letitia Stock was arrested in South Carolina. That's where originally she was from. She was being extradited back to Colorado to face charges of first-degree murder related to the disappearance of Gannon Stock. Well, she got a little tricky. She is just a little Houdini, apparently. Apparently, as they were coming across country in Kansas, she was able to maneuver out of her handcuffs and attempted to attack the El Paso County sheriff that was driving her across country, and one could only reasonably assume in an attempt to escape. Now, that is not the conduct of an innocent person for most people. Now, obviously, she has only been charged. She has not been convicted, so we must give her the presumption of innocence. But use your common sense. If she had no worries or concerns about being back in Colorado to face these charges, which everyone should be worried if they're facing first-degree murder charges, one way you do it is you get to court and you make the government prove the case against you if they can. But you don't try to escape after assaulting a sheriff who's trying to get you back there safely. Needless to say, Miss Letitia Stock is back in the El Paso County Jail. Apparently, she got an extra night in custody in Kansas where they booked her in, shipped her back down here after they were able to basically get control of the situation. I can guarantee you those handcuffs were extremely tight this time, allowing no give where she could try to escape. And I assure you, when she goes to court, she will have her hands shackled, her feet, she'll have chains on them, and more than likely, she'll have a belly strap around her as well. And she's only making things more difficult for her because now they're going to hold her in a high-risk unit, and she's going to have less freedom as she would have as a prisoner. A lot of people responded to our question that we put up on Facebook as to what questions do you have regarding Gannon Stock's case. Probably the main one is how long will it be until Letitia Stock goes to trial? Well, you have to remember, she has court March 11th. That's when she's going to be brought back for an initial advisement, filing of charges. She, by statute, has 35 days to request a preliminary hearing and to actually have that hearing held within 35 days. She, through her attorney, could waive that 35-day rule, and it could be set out much farther. If she doesn't, the prosecutor has to present enough evidence to keep the case alive, so to speak. Now, should anybody be worried if she demands a preliminary hearing right away? No. Why? At a preliminary hearing, you don't need to call any lay witnesses. You simply call the police officer who prepared the affidavit for an arrest warrant, who went to a judge and signed the affidavit saying there's probable cause for her arrest, and the case will be bound over unless the district attorney forgets to ask a particular question related to an element in the offense. Never happens. Judges cut huge breaks. The law is so clear that the evidence must be viewed in the light most favorable to the prosecution, drawing all inferences in their favor. That standard does not change throughout the process until basically the defense rests their case at trial. That's not going to be an issue. Also, at that preliminary hearing, if the district attorney wants to keep Miss Letitia Stock without a bond, they have a proof evident presumption great hearing. Basically, they have to show, the prosecution has to show, that proof is evident and the presumption is great that she is the one that committed a crime, and to show there's a high likelihood of success as it relates to a conviction, that there's basically more than just probable cause, kind of overwhelming evidence that she is the one that caused the death of Gannon Stock. So we don't have all the information as what was laid out in an affidavit for arrest warrant. We'll kind of have to wait and see. But after the preliminary hearing, proof, evident, presumption, great, then the matter will be bound over for an arraignment, which is probably 30 to 45 days out from there. Now, most defense attorneys are going to want to continue that preliminary hearing. And then even after the preliminary hearing, they're going to want a little more time than usually the 3 to 4 weeks that the court gives you. And then when they get to the actual arraignment, where they enter a plea of guilty or not guilty, and assuming that she enters a plea of not guilty, the state then has 6 months under the Colorado Speedy Trial Act to get her to trial. If they got her to trial in 6 months and one day, the case would be dismissed. I assure you that won't happen. In all my years of practicing law, specifically here in Colorado, I've never seen a case dismissed on speedy trial. The government will get you to trial, or they'll load you up on so much new discovery or something that you, as the defendant, would have to request a continuance so it buys them more time. Now, personally, I've said this before, my preference is when you have a murder trial, you go on the first setting because nobody thinks you'll ever go in that first setting within that first 6 months. Some of the best wins I've had doing homicide cases have been saying, let's go first setting. We're ready to roll because nobody on the government side thinks that you're ready to roll. So 6 months from the date they actually say an arraignment. All right. Will the affidavit be unsealed? Yes, it should be unsealed. Why is the defense one unsealed? Well, because until it's unsealed, even the defense doesn't have a copy of it, and the defense cannot begin their investigation. All right. Once again, El Paso County, this is the same judicial district that handled the Patrick Frazee matter, all right, where they went to trial with no body. Apparently, they think they can do it again. Now, obviously, Ms. Stock is not helping herself, and I say that in the sense of, in the big objective picture, she's not helping herself if you had to be her defense attorney trying to help her out. Do you think a change of venue would be requested? Very unlikely. El Paso County is a huge jurisdiction. It's actually larger than Denver in the metropolitan area. For those who aren't familiar with it, you kind of have the top of kind of Colorado near the Wyoming border. You have Fort Collins. Then you have, you know, Westminster, Thornton, North Glen, Denver, Colorado Springs, Pueblo. Colorado Springs is one of the largest cities in Colorado, and they'll have no problem finding jurors who have not heard about or are familiar with the case. And even if you know something about the case, doesn't mean you can't serve as a juror. You just can't have already formed an opinion, all right? Do you think that if a change of venue is requested, would she still get a fair trial? She'll get a fair trial either way. No judge is going to make sure that somebody has an unfair trial. Judges always go above and beyond to make sure everybody in the courtroom, the prosecution and the defense, receive a fair trial. Because I tell you, as an attorney, at the end of the day, whether it's a win, a loss, or a draw, a hung jury, you just want to be able to look over to your client and say, you had a fair trial, okay? Nothing worse than when you have to tell your client, man, you got screwed. All right. Most judges aren't going to do that. Most judges are good judges. They want to do the right thing. They're going to follow the law. And that's all they should do. They shouldn't weigh one side or the other for the defense or prosecution. Their job is just like an umpire at a baseball game. Call balls and strikes. You don't care who wins. call balls and strikes. Next on the docket, Lori Vallow, another mom on the move. That's right. She is back from Hawaii, where she has been extradited to return to Idaho, and she had a court appearance this afternoon. Her bond was originally set at $5 million. That's what Idaho had previously requested. That's what the judge in Hawaii said was appropriate. And since that time, Ms. Vallow has been in custody. Today, Ms. Vallow's attorney argued that the $10 million was excessive, and so excessive that it was a violation of her constitutional rights as to bail, because if your bail is excessive, then it's basically no bail. The defense attorney for Ms. Vallow made her arguments, stating that she would remain in the state of Idaho. She's going to remain at the house that she and her new husband have, Mr. Daybell, some depending on how exactly how you pronounce it, Daybell. And, you know, she was willing to comply with any court order that the court imposes. The prosecutor said, yes, Ms. Vallow has no criminal history. However, she has at least 7 civil contempt proceedings related to some previous divorce and child proceedings down in Texas. He also noted that as soon as the attempt by the police to search the house, Ms. Vallow jumped off to Hawaii. The prosecutor argued that there were misrepresentations made by the attorney in Hawaii that stated she lived in Hawaii, but they didn't, you know, they didn't live there. They were kind of staying there, but they didn't own a house there. They own a house back in Idaho. Ultimately, the court makes the decision that he, in fact, will reduce Ms. Vallow's bond because, yes, $5 million is excessive. So he reduced it to $1 million cash, property, or surety. Now, if Ms. Vallow is to make that bond, she would have to basically reside within 4 counties in Idaho. She would have to have a GPS monitoring. She couldn't apply for a passport. She already doesn't have a passport, but if she had one, she'd have to turn it over. And she has to comply with basically pretrial services with the GPS. A couple of good points. The attorney that Ms. Vallow had retained, at least for these proceedings, stated that in her 10 years of experience as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney, she has never seen a child abandonment case ever prosecuted on the criminal side. It's always been prosecuted more on a child welfare type of jurisdiction. And the defense attorneys argued that it is a situation whereby this wouldn't even be prosecuted, but for the social media and media coverage that this case has been receiving, and therefore this is all completely unnecessary. Once again, Ms. Vallow sat there cold as could be, a couple of few smiles. She apparently got her hands on some of that jailhouse lipstick, because normally they don't allow them to have lipstick, so they like make it, and it was this really bright red, and she looks a little pale right now, apparently not getting as much sun as she was in Hawaii. So, but she sat there, and even when the judge reduced the bond from $5 million to $1 million, no emotion whatsoever. She is a cool cat. I don't mean that like in she's super cool, just that, man, nothing seems to faze her at all. Let me know what you think. You know, I can't get a read on this one just yet. Is she just so cool and calm that she has nothing to worry about? Because these kids are just going to spring up somewhere, and, you know, she has no right or she has no duty to tell anybody what they were, where they were, because they have the right to raise your children as you want. And why do I have to tell you? Because I've done nothing wrong. Maybe they are with a family member. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see on that one. Now, in other Lori Vallow news, the FBI has released a photograph of Tylee, as well as JJ, who is obviously 7, in Yellowstone, where they were seen September 8th of 2019. And the FBI is asking if anyone has seen Tylee or JJ, particularly maybe if they're in any photos in Wyoming, at Yellowstone, that would be helpful so that they could help with their investigation so they can try to figure out where, in fact, these children may be. this case seems to be getting more and more bizarre. And a lot of people are saying that Miss Vallow's husband, Chad DeBell, Daybell, depending on where you come from or he pronounces it from, say that he's part of this religious cult that thinks that the world is coming to an end and it's their job to prepare people for the end of times. Very unusual. You know, one man's religion is another man's cult, so we'll have to see. I've handled cases where there have been allegations that people were in a cult and that they were making these decisions, and therefore it's, you know, somehow it's weird or an aggravating factor. It doesn't really matter in the big picture. The matter is where are the children and are they okay? We're going to be keep watching this one because I think this one's going to get weird. And when you have a defendant that is this calm, this cool, and collected at all stages of the proceedings early on like this, she acts like she's got nothing to worry about. What do you think? Should she be worried? Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Yes, do you remember lots of people? They were going around doing kind of an ice cream challenge. They were going around licking ice cream. Well, guess what? It turned out to be a pretty dumb thing to do. DeAdrian Anderson, 24, he was sentenced to 2 years probation for the Bluebell stunt, wherein it's blue, for those of you who aren't familiar, Bluebell ice cream, occurred where he basically went into a store, had another man record him licking ice cream at a Walmart, and then returning the carton to the store freezer. Well, he got 30 days in jail for such a stunt. Not exactly the smartest thing to do. Certainly, I wouldn't want somebody licking my ice cream. I mean, let's face it, we all check the eggs to see if they've broken when they're in the carton. Who opens up your ice cream quart to see if somebody's licked it? You just don't do it. So not only is it dumb, it's unsanitary, and it's gross. And in today's world of everybody being concerned about some kind of virus going around the world, not smart at all. All right, finally on the docket, where was Scott? Well, let me tell you where Scott was all week. Scott was busy. He was in trial. I was in trial in U.S. District Court. I was in trial because we demanded speedy trial for our client. Remember what I said about homicide investigations, homicide cases? You want to go as quickly as possible, all right? The government is like a big steamroller. You know, the ones that they put out there when they flatten out that new asphalt. It's kind of slow getting rolling. But once that thing got rolling, if it was going down a hill, you couldn't stop it, right? That's the way you describe the government if they're coming after you. My client was entitled to his trial within 70 days in the U.S. District Court. Court set a trial date. Last week, they set a trial date for this week. I was available. My client wanted to go to trial. The U.S. attorney said, let's do this thing. After 4 days of trial, that's right, yours truly, not guilty to all counts in the indictment. Now, you'd say, hey, maybe that's great. Oh, great, Scott. You helped somebody out of a predicament. Now, I helped an innocent man out of a predicament. He was wrongfully accused. It was a wrongful identification case, and the government knew it, and they didn't do anything about it. And that's why we had jury trials. And after 4 days of trial, a jury took 3 hours to find my client not guilty, which goes to what I've said before. Juries get it right. Juries are smart. Juries pay attention. Juries look into the facts. They apply those facts to the law that's given to them by the judge. And most of the time, they make the correct decision. So I apologize I wasn't here with you. I thought I'd maybe be able to do a quick update at night, but it simply didn't turn out because, well, when you're in trial, you're all in on trial. And literally, it is a 16 to 18 hour day every day, and all you're doing is focusing on trial. So I apologize. We'll be back next week. Thanks for watching. Have a great day.